What do you do when the schools are indoctrinating your children contrary to your moral and religious beliefs and you have no control over it? What are your alternatives?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Have you ever heard news report and maybe there's some sickness going around the community, but your thought is, well, boy, thank God it hasn't happened to us. Or maybe there's some plane crash and you had some relatives traveling to that same city and you hear the report and you're sad, but you say, oh, okay, good. Well, it hasn't happened to us. A lot of times that's how we live our believing lives. Like, oh, okay, that hasn't happened to me. I'm okay. Whereas some things come knocking at our doors and they are unavoidable, and we have to recognize the fact that we can't just keep sticking our head in the ground, sticking our head in the sand. We have to figure out how to deal with the challenges constructively with the wisdom and power of God, because there always is wisdom in the Lord. And we're going to tackle one of the pressing issues today that we really can't avoid, namely the indoctrination of our kids in the school system. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. In fact, coming your way from the beautiful KKLA studios in Glendale, California, coming your way live, but I'm out in California for a few days, did the Israel conference in Connecticut over the weekend, flew here yesterday on Sunday, and then after the show each day, I'll be driving back to La Mirada in California as well, those familiar with the geography here, and teaching part of a seminary class at Talbot Theological Seminary, an apologetics class, so I'll be doing 3 days, 4 hours a day on Jewish apologetics. So doing radio, then teaching at the seminary, and then, if everything goes according to the plan, taking the red eye home Wednesday night. Yeah, one of those miserable kind of things. Getting in after a few hours of sleep, hopefully about 6 in the morning Thursday, and then getting home, resting a bit to be ready for the broadcast live, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, back in Charlotte. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. I'm going to play some very surprising, even shocking audio clips for you in the next segment in terms of what could be coming your way or what could already be coming your way in the school system. But with the passage of SB 48 in California, an important bill that we've been talking about for many, many weeks. With the passage of that bill and the signing of it into law by Governor Jerry Brown, it will now mandate the celebration of homosexuality in our children's schools. Here's a news report covering that. Number one, Joey.
State Governor Jerry Brown signed SB 48, making California the first state in the country to pass such legislation. The law is authored by homosexual Senator Mark Leno from San Francisco and will require textbooks to be rewritten to contain information about LGBT Americans. Teachers and classroom material will also have to present LGBT individuals in a positive light. Commentators note that SB 48 will affect schools throughout the country because California and Texas are the two states that purchase the most textbooks. Earl DeVries is a former candidate for state senate, and he laments that other states will be affected by this bill.
I feel sorry for those states because we've not done a good job defending our families and our children, and we have the wrong kind of people in Sacramento, and this is a consequence of our lack of involvement.
Brown announced in a written statement that the bill, quote, revises existing laws that prohibit discrimination in education, close quote, and said that history should be honest. He added that the law represents an important step forward for the state of California, but DeVries disagrees.
Well, it really isn't. Of course, their ultimate agenda is to normalize homosexuality, and the Lord says that's wrong, and we're going to be suffering the consequences of those decisions.
Under the bill, children of all ages in public schools will be forced to admire LGBT individuals. I'm Becky Yeh.
All right. That's the law now in California. What surprised me was I was getting all these emails from people the end of last week saying, Mike, have you heard about this? We've been talking about it long enough and pointing towards it for several years now. Question is, you're a parent, you've got kids in school. What do you do about this? What alternatives do we have? You'll find out what this actually means when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm not called doctor for no reason. I'm often very sharp. Yeah, I'm being facetious with myself here for a moment. I was at baggage claim at LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, yesterday, waiting for my luggage to come in on the luggage rack. And I see something, and I thought, what in the world? Why in the world would somebody be shipping an ironing board? I mean, I've flown for years and years and you know, see tons of luggage coming out. I can't remember someone shipping an ironing board just by itself. I thought, why in the world would someone ship an ironing board? And then, yeah, that's right. They don't call me Dr. Brown for nothing. When the ironing board got a little closer, I realized that it was probably something for the water, seeing that we were in California. And although it was certainly not a surfboard, it looked like something that someone would use in the war. Yeah, very sharp. I thought it was an ironing board at first. Okay, 866-34-TRUTH. Here's the dilemma. Here's the dilemma. You've got your kids in public school, and the schools are teaching things that you morally reject. You can expect it in New York much, much more with the passing of same-sex marriage. And this is ever before us. I mean, I've got probably 10 or 15 different news items I'm looking at right now, all relating to this. The Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, warned school districts Tuesday against attempting to shut down lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender clubs and gay straight alliances. In the Open Dear Colleagues letter, Duncan stressed that LGBT students are often the target of bullying and verbal harassment, and that after-school clubs can help students cope with bullying. It can also encourage them to come out at younger and younger ages as homosexually active, and in fact encourage them to come out to their peers and to teacher advisors without their parents even knowing. And in middle school, and our Secretary of Education is now saying, hey, do not shut these down. Catholic University is facing a lawsuit over same-sex dorms. Here you go. Fox News reports on this. George Washington University law professor John Banshaf said in an interview Sunday with Fox News about his intent to sue Catholic University of America President John Garvey for requiring all dormitories to be single-sex. You think, well, okay, maybe a lot of us are out of touch. But this is Catholic University of America. They used to have gender-segregated dorms, but I guess they changed, I don't know how many years ago, and the change, they're hoping now to go back to gender-segregated, so guys with guys and ladies with ladies, as opposed to mixed, do whatever in the world you want in dorms, which is common, campuses all over America. They're hoping that the change would work to reduce binge drinking and promiscuous sex at Catholic University. No. You know, what about same-sex dorms? So, and anyway, and Rudy Giuliani, this is what he said, get the heck out of people's bedrooms. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, who is still weighing a presidential bid, said Sunday that the Republican Party should stop focusing on gay marriage and get the heck out of people's bedrooms. Oh, friends, this is ever before us. This is going to be taught aggressively in the schools. And if you want to get an idea, if you want to get an idea of what will be taught to your kids in the schools with SB 48 mandating. A lot of this being taught already in different parts of the country. I have curriculum going back years from gay activists that would have this taught in the schools already. But to give you an idea of what could be coming, this is from a website with focusing on different gay, lesbian heroes, figures of the past. So here you've got a kid in first grade, all right? In public school, and this could be coming to a school near you. And by the way, there could be many, many other issues. Put aside homosexual issues. There could be many, many other issues in the schools that you have real moral objection to. You can have general objections to the sex ed classes, but generally you can opt your kids out of those. You can have objections if you happen to have a godless teacher, and this teacher is trying to subtly plant seeds, atheistic seeds, or world religion classes where the textbook downs Jesus and exalts Muhammad or Buddha, which is increasingly common, or downs at least Christianity. You may have objections for many, many different reasons. What do you do? What do you do? What if homeschooling is not an option? What if sending your kid to Christian school is not an option? Do you have to figure out a way to make this happen? Are the churches somehow responsible to work together to set up a network of education for kids that can't afford to be pulled out, or where the parents don't have the ability or the inclination to homeschool. What do you do if you have to keep your kid in public school? You feel you should keep your kid in public school. What do you do when the kids are being indoctrinated? So this is just a hint of some of what could be coming their way in the schools. Number three.
Leslie Feinberg is a leading transgender activist and author. Her novel, Stone Butch Blues, received a Lambda Literary Award and an American Literary Association Award.
All right, that's just a little vignette about Leslie Feinberg, known as the transgender warrior, a woman who dresses as a man and is partnered with a woman and speaks at campuses all over America and does not like to be addressed as her or as him. Likes to be, it would be her, H-I-R, or Z-Z-E, as I document in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Leslie Feinberg, transgender activist and author of Stone Butch Blues. She would be someone that your kids could well be learning about in elementary school under SB 48 in California. What do you do? What do you do if your kid comes home? And what did you learn about today? Well, we learned about Leslie Feinberg and what a hero she is. She may be a courageous woman, but I profoundly differ with choices she has made, and whatever was not a choice, I'd say she needs some help with. Clip number five.
Kevin Jennings founded GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. He oversees the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools at the U.S. Department of Education.
All right, so Kevin Jennings, founder, former executive director of GLSEN, Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, one of the leading gay activist educators in America. His organization designed classes like and exercises, Discovering Your Inner Tranny, where little kids would be taught to look inside to see if maybe they were a boy trapped in a girl's body or a girl trapped in a boy's body. They had a lesson plan one time, What's with the Dress, Jack? Those are some of the things that GLSEN taught. North American history cards, where you'd find out about famous North Americans, and they'd argue that this one was gay and that one was gay. Kevin Jennings, recently stepping down from his position as Safe Schools Are under President Obama to take another position outside of the government, he would be celebrated in your schools, okay? I'm not demonizing him as a human being. He's a human being that needs prayer and the love of God. And Jesus died for him the same as Jesus died for everybody else in this world, all right? But the idea that you're going to celebrate his accomplishments in school, I mean, this is nothing less than outrageous, but it's now the law. It's now the law in California. But it goes further than that. You might find out, your kids might come home and say, I didn't know that she was a lesbian. I didn't know that he was gay. Here are some of the folks that are celebrated as gay and lesbian in the educational system right now by gay and lesbian activist educators. Clip number two.
George Washington Carver was a groundbreaking agriculturalist, best known for discovering innovative uses for peanuts. Born during the Civil War, Carver overcame racism to establish himself as a preeminent scientist and academic.
You say, I don't get that. What about George Washington Carver? He was a famous Christian. He never married. He was friendly with some men, and some biographers speculated as to maybe he was gay. Well, whether he was same-sex attracted, God knows, okay? But the fact of the matter is, his accomplishments were the accomplishments of a black American who overcame obstacles having to do with black Americans, not obstacles having to do with being homosexual. And if he was same-sex attracted, there is no evidence that he acted on it. And if he acted on it, there is no evidence, in fact, evidence to the contrary, that he wanted it to be publicly known. And yet, if your kids are going to learn about him, they will learn something about him that, number one, we don't know is true and could well be totally untrue. But number two is something he did not want known about himself, was something that he was not proclaiming. His Christian faith, yes. His scientific accomplishments, yes. His overcoming racism, yes. But with the new system, there would be more than that your kids would be taught. One last one, clip number four.
Eleanor Roosevelt transformed the role of First Lady. She served as a diplomat and was a tireless champion of international human rights.
Eleanor Roosevelt, that's right, the wife of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, famously very friendly with a colleague, a co-worker. They would publicly be friendly and affectionate with each other, wrote many warm, tender letters towards each other. Well, she, of course, has been claimed now as a lesbian or bisexual heroine by gay and lesbian educators. Your kids would learn that and more. What do you do about it as a parent? Give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's the bigger, broader question. Do we do whatever we can to pull our kids out of public schools, period? Unless you happen to be in an area in America where the public schools are virtually Christian with their morals, with their open faith, with the open Christianity of their teachers. Do we pull all of our kids out one way or another to protest the system? And as people have argued, Christian school or homeschool advocates have argued for many, many years, the Israelites did not give their children over to the Canaanites to be educated. Do we do whatever we can to pull our kids out? At one time, our own congregation, Fire, located in Concord, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, at one time I would say, at least 95% of the families homeschooled their kids. It wasn't a public thing that we taught. It was just something that was common in our circles. As the congregation's grown, people have come in that have their kids in Christian schools. People have come in that have their kids in public schools. So we have more of a range, although probably a good majority still homeschool. But I remember hearing a few years ago, and I'm in California today broadcasting from KKLA Studios, God willing, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. I remember hearing a major ministry telling everyone in California, all Christian parents in California, pull your kids out. Pull your kids out of the schools because of what's being taught in the schools, because of the corruption in the schools in terms of the education that the kids were getting, the values that the kids were getting. Pull them out. And I remember thinking, I agree in many ways with what's being said, especially for the younger kids. But the question is, what do parents do, single moms and couples with limited resources and abilities? Not everyone can homeschool. Certainly not every mom can homeschool. Not every couple has the capability of doing this. That's absolutely sure. And certainly not everyone has resources to send their kid to a Christian school, nor is there a solid Christian school to send the kids to in every case. So while I agreed in many ways with the sentiment, I didn't know that it was practical in many other cases. So in perhaps a majority of cases, whether it was practical, whether it was feasible, which then raises the question to me, well, then do parents just have to get much more involved in what's happening in the schools, from parent-teacher associations to school boards, and heavily involved with their teacher and curriculum, and be sitting with their kids every single day in a positive way, discussing what they learned in school? Or do the churches need to come together in a more holistic way to address this and say, okay, we have to help our congregants. Maybe we can pool our resources. Maybe we can pool our talent. Maybe there can be a homeschool colloquium where people work together, and then you have science fairs and things like that, and some people helping to teach math, we're going to seek ways to get funding to have a school, or we just get more involved in the public school. See, the challenge is that you want your kid to respect your teacher. You want your kid to honor the teacher and to believe what the teacher tells you. And look, we've all had it where a kid comes home from school and they're correcting you on something because they just learned it in school today. Maybe they didn't learn it right. No, teacher says. That's the way it's spelled. Teacher says. And you pull out a dictionary and say, no, honey, actually, maybe you misunderstood it. Maybe the teacher made it. He's like, no, teacher says. Well, you want the kids, on the one hand, you want the kids to respect their teachers, But then I actually have handbooks like Gay and Lesbian Education Network called GALE in Canada, where they say that it is right and appropriate to dishonor the religious and moral beliefs of parents in order to teach what we feel is right. And courts have ruled in the states that it's more important to teach, quote, diversity, meaning gay activist agenda, than to honor the request of the parents. We should all work together against bullying. We should all work together against taunting of other kids and name-calling and all that. But as I said many times, kids get picked on because they're fat. We don't have fat pride parades or obesity is good classes. We say bullying is bad. We can do that without teaching gay activist curriculum in the schools or other activist curriculum in the schools. The question is, what do we do as parents? What do we do as educators? What do we do as students in the schools? 866-34-TRUTH. Catherine in Arlington, Virginia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I was thinking about the problem that you're posing, and I have a question that might possibly be part of a solution. Of course, not a total solution, but part of a solution. And as I understand, Amish parents in the past have successfully argued that their children should not be required by law to attend public schools until the full age of graduation from high school. And I don't remember if they were allowed to opt out at 12 or 13 or 16 or what the exact age was, but they were allowed by the court to opt out early because the schools were not preparing them for the life that they would live in the Amish community and to what the values that their parents were teaching in their religion.
Right.
I'm wondering if our situation now is analogous, where Christian parents could come, come into court and say, this is not what we are teaching our children, this is not what we believe, and it is not helping our children to participate in our community and our family life. This
right.
is opposed to our religion. I mean, it could even be class action.
Yeah, here's the immediate question I have about that. Again, we're talking about moral issues now, behavioral issues, lifestyle choices as well, in terms of what people do with their lives and et cetera. So the moral issues is now very acute. Parents being offended by this, very acute, violating values. For example, in California, people of California voted twice to say marriage is the union of a man and woman only, yet the schools are going to be teaching the opposite of that. The problem is, though, within Amish culture, there is a mentoring apprentice system. There is a emphasis put on agricultural work and practical work with the hands and things like that, cabinetry and those kinds of things. And therefore, if the kid doesn't get a normal education they get in schools, they're getting supplemented in these other ways, whereas we don't really have that system. So what might happen is the kid is allowed to get out of school early, but we don't have a system for mentoring, apprenticing, and other important areas of life. So it's an interesting question, but I think it exposes the fact that we don't really have good alternatives to the public school system outside of just, okay, well, we'll homeschool or have Christian school, but something like what you're saying the Amish is doing, we don't have the equivalent of that. Hey, interesting point, something to think about. We've got a break coming up, but I want to make something available to you this will be riveting viewing. Last year, I debated my friend Rabbi Shmuley Boteach on the subject, is homosexuality America's greatest moral crisis? And of course, my issue is with gay activism. You will find it a riveting review. And in fact, my opening 10, 15 minutes will be a clear, concise, devastating presentation of material. Debate you don't want to miss. It's 2 hours on DVD. We've reduced the price. We'll pay the postage. So just for $10, we'll send you the 2-hour DVD, my debate with Rabbi Shmuley on homosexuality, and we'll pay the postage. But give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. Everyone that can, take advantage of this dirt cheap to get it to as many of you as we can. That's 1-800-278-9978. Just ask for the homosexuality debate between me and Rabbi Shmuley. Our team is ready to take your call, even if you can't spell Shmuley. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what would this actually look like? SB 48 in California mandating the celebration of homosexuality in history classes, no opt-out options for parents, and the things can be taught whenever faculty would want to teach them. What would it look like? I mean, does it mean that every time you mention someone, you say, well, he was straight, she was straight, and because they're not part of that? I mean, is that what you do? And, you know, let's talk about Ronald Reagan. Well, he was straight. And let's talk about Thomas Jefferson. Well, he was straight. And let's talk about, I mean, is that what's going to happen? And the other bigger question is, if the person made a contribution as an American, why do we need to find out what their personal orientation was, what they did in the bedroom, or what they wanted to hide from others? Why is that to be known? Look, there are accusations that a famous law enforcement guy in America, FBI fame, was a cross-dresser. There are accusations of it. If you teach about him, do you now include that? I mean, you see the insanity of it and the purposelessness of it. Someone posted this. They were attacking an article of mine from last year where I speak of the massive transformation that's taking place in our society in terms of LGBT activism. And they rephrased it to say, look, I'm just a bigot. They rephrased it to say this. Pro-Negro books are being read in elementary school classrooms. Teachers are being mandated to use race-neutral language. Black activists have been welcomed in the White House, and young evangelicals see no problem with interracial marriage to say, look, he said if this blank posted an article like that, he would be the second most hated man in America, second only to Fred Phelps. Well, if, in fact, sexual orientation and romantic attraction and sexual behavior were the same as skin color, and if, in fact, there was no moral issue to it either, well, then that would be true. But neither are true. It's not the same as skin color, and there are moral issues involved, but, again, that's something that our activist friends often are unable to see. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You can weigh in online at Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. That's Ask Dr. Brown. All right, before we go back to the phones, I just noticed that A Queer Thing Happened to America, what a long, strange trip it's been, just received its 100th review, review number 100, on Amazon. And it's a very clever 5-star review. Obviously someone who agrees with me, but is hitting this from another angle. It's entitled, What's the Fuss, GLBTers? I sure don't understand all the fuss, what all the fuss is about from GLBTers about this book. There should be rejoicing instead. This book provides perhaps the most incredibly comprehensive pictures of the tremendous advances made into American society by the brilliant strategy of the GLBT community. The agenda is advancing rapidly, and this book documents in excruciating and unbelievably thorough detail how and why. It is presented by a guy who opposes the advances to the cause, but it is done so in a very civil, respectful, and appropriate way, at least for those of us who consider ourselves open versus closed-minded to discussing differences of opinion. Brown just happens to disagree with the cause, but in America he certainly has the right to his opinion and to exercise his right to free speech without being vilified and hated upon. He simply says he disagrees and offers his reasons for disagreement. This is a must-read for all in the GLBT community who want some bona fide encouragement that the tide is turning and may never turn back again. This is a watershed book. A clever way to encourage folks to read it. Again, the question, what do we do in the schools? There's no reason to just throw our hands up and say we're defeated. There's no reason to just throw our hands in the air and say it's over. There's no reason to just throw our hands in the air and say I quit. And how can you quit? You got kids in schools. You can't just pull them out unless you can homeschool or put them in Christian school. And then even in those settings, obviously you've got to do things right as you're doing them. But for those in the public schools, what's the counsel? What's the approach? What's the wisdom? We'll be back with your calls. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are about to go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, discussing what parents should do when kids are being indoctrinated in the schools contrary to parental beliefs, wishes, moral standards. The parents have no opt-out options. They can't pull their kids out and homeschool them. They can't send them to Christian school. Maybe there are no schools in the area. Maybe they don't have the finances to do it. Maybe they don't have the ability to homeschool. What do they do? Before I get back to that, just to remind you that these are issues we cannot ignore. These are issues we cannot ignore. That's why we have been sounding the alarm. Here's an article that was just pointed out to me. One of our faithful friends, Matt, who's regularly sending me news related to what we talk about on the air. This was July 3rd. Somehow I missed this. From the opinion pages of the New York Times by Ralph Richard Banks, Jackson Eli Reynolds, professor of law at Stanford Law School. He teaches employment discrimination law and is the author of the forthcoming book, Is Marriage for White People? How the African-American Marriage Declines Affect Everyone. And this is what he says. Historically, both polygamy and incest have been more widely practiced and accepted than the Supreme Court and most Americans seem to believe. Over time, our moral assessments of these practices will shift, just as they have with interracial marriage and same-sex marriage. We will begin to take seriously questions that now seem beyond the pale. Should a state be permitted to imprison two cousins because they have sex or attempt to marry? Should a man and two wives be permitted to live together as a family when they assert that their religious convictions lead them to do so? And on it goes. When things are taught in the schools that violate core convictional beliefs of parents that feel are negative influences on the kids, what are parents to do? Adam in New York City, we lost Adam there. Karen in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Karen. All right, tell you what, if we can just get Karen to turn her radio down for a moment, that would be very, very helpful. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, if you'll click on AskDrBrown.org and then the Line of Fire, you'll find lots of resources relevant to today's broadcast. Hey, I'm looking at news here. Saugatuck, this is Saugatuck, Michigan. Middle school might include LGBT studies and sex ed. I mean, why is this news? While California schools debate compulsory LGBT studies in history class, a West Michigan school district might have eighth graders learn about LGBT issues as part of its new sex education curriculum. Why should this surprise us at all? All right, back to Karen in the Bronx. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi. First of all, this has been a long battle, okay? And I've known parents who've tried to battle it, and they've been defeated. I would say, first of all, that those who identify with the scriptures, we should gather together and we should pray. I mean, there has to be a real warfare in prayer. Second of all, we can't really win this battle without recruiting those individuals in the secular society. And one of the ways we could do this, we should tell our legislators that we're really insulted. We're very insulted the fact that there's homeless, the fact that the government didn't hold the mortgages for those who lost their houses. We're insulted at the fact that there's the loss of jobs, the work abuse that's not even identified among the working classes. And we should say, get this off the table. Get this off the table. Get the gays off the table. Get abortion off the table. And let's get to the pivotal aspect of how to run a government. And all this stuff is about gay. I mean, they're willing to be used, okay? And then you have to realize the lobbying destroys the integrity of the government. And all this is rooted in the lobby, the real estate lobby, the LGBT lobby, whatever. And just get that off the table. Get it off the table, and let's look at the problems in America. And this is to just corrupt the populace, and this is what the classes, upper classes, always did. They corrupted
Karen, let me just jump in and say this. There are two things you're saying. One, we need to pray, and of course we need to pray. We should be alert. We should be praying for God's mercy on America. We should be praying for awakening in the church and awakening in society. Absolutely. And then the way you make your will known to legislators is by voting. You write to them, you call them, and you vote. By the way, just another reminder, this Sunday there will be Let the People Vote rallies all over New York, calling for the legislators to allow New Yorkers to vote on the issue of same-sex marriage. I'll be having my friend Joe Matera back on the line with me on Wednesday just to let you know a little bit about what's happening with that. And tomorrow, God willing, I'll be interviewing my dear friend Yesu Padam that I've worked with in India since 1993, a man who's been stoned for his faith, and we've literally washed the feet of widows, of martyrs that they've sent out to preach there. But they've done some amazing things with education there in India, where here's a man that I don't think made it through elementary school. He was an untouchable, and he, with his folks there, it's been amazing what they've been able to turn around and raise up alternative education in a Hindu area where Hindus often send their kids to his school in their city because it's the finest school around, amazingly. 866-34-TRUTH. Lisa in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm a first-time listener. I was just going through, and I happened to come across your show. And I just wanted to tell you that I totally agree with what you're saying. And I just didn't want to talk about government for a second. I wanted to talk about, like, a personal situation. I have a twin sister. I'm 26 years old, and she happens to be gay. And we were raised Catholic our whole lives. And, you know, not that it's bad, because, you know, it's not whether questions are good or bad, but everything... Like, I've met a lot of gay people through my sister. Everything to do with their identities is their sexuality. And just like you said before, like, Ben Franklin, straight or gay, like, you know, Thomas Jefferson, straight or gay. What does that matter? I just don't understand why they're so wrapped up in their sexualities when in life, in the spectrum of life, like, that's nothing. That's someone who you love. I guess that's a private thing. But why are they so, like... That's who they are, you know. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, what they would say in response is you're not seeing things through their eyes. And by the way, I agree with your observations. I think they're to the point. I don't. Yeah. I am a male heterosexual, and obviously right. I see the world through those eyes and relate to my wife and to the world through those eyes, but. That's not my, when I get up in the morning, I'm a child of God wanting to serve the Lord and make an impact and do his will and touch other lives. That's what I'm conscious of. So sexual orientation is just not an issue. It's an issue if there's, you know, some inappropriate magazine cover and I look away from it, you know, that I'm aware of that or relating to a, you know, I'm not going to counsel a woman alone in private, you know, those kind of things. But those are just parameters and guidelines, et cetera, as far as my self-identity. No, I agree with you that that's not a major focus. What they would say is you don't understand. You're in a heterosexual society where you can be yourself, and we can't be ourselves. So we're constantly going against the grain, and we're constantly having to come out. We're constantly having to overcome things and get accepted in society. So if we can show in history the accomplishments of people that stood up for our rights, then we can look to them as role models, and it'll help people be more accepting of other kids who are gay and lesbian. And you see, if we can identify other great Americans or great people in world history who were also secretly gay or lesbian, that encourages us that we can be somebody. The fact of the matter is, though, we have gays and lesbians openly all over our society, in Congress, in the media, in the business world, in the sports world, open, out, and proud. And we have plenty of areas in America where you can be open, out, and proud, and nobody's going to look at you funny at all. And yet, it's still not enough. I think this is like the eighth bill.
You're right.
I think this is like the eighth bill that's gone into the school systems so far in California dealing with these kind of issues because it's never enough. So it breaks my heart for the people. I feel terrible for them that this is this constant battle. But I'm also quite sure that we are not to restructure society so as to give them sufficient affirmation so that they can have self-acceptance. They need the love of God to penetrate their hearts, and that's the only thing that's going to solve that problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just want to say also, like, I don't even want to, like, I'm not even trying to be mean because I don't It's not that I don't like gay people. It's just that I have a disability. I'm legally blind. They're gay. Someone else could have something. And people would consider things an affliction. Like some people, like, oh, they're gay. Or, you know, oh, this one, you know, has no arms. Or this one can't see. It's like everyone's always going to have something in their life put there. You know, why? I just don't see why that would be so important. You know, that's all I wanted to say, though.
Yeah, and Lisa, it's important. It's absolutely important. And may the Lord's goodness touch your life, touch your sister's life, and everyone close to you. I'm quite sure it's a valid point. I'm quite sure that gay and lesbian listeners will say, you just don't get it, buddy. You're missing it. Well, maybe I'm not missing it. We can talk.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before this broadcast is over, I want to give you some practical suggestions, some simple suggestions for those with kids in public schools. And again, convictionally, you may not feel to pull them out, or you may not be able to for other reasons. I just want to give you some practical thoughts on what you can do when your kids are being indoctrinated in ways that are contrary to your wishes. And in some places, the school systems are actively saying, yeah, we are doing, we know what the parents believe, and we believe what the parents believe is wrong, and we want the kids to know that. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, stay tuned. I'll let you know about an important resource. We have a debate with my friend Rabbi Shmuley about homosexual activism. All right, Aaron in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm just calling as a person of faith, and I happen to really disagree with what you've said today. I have four children in the public schools, two have graduated, but they were exposed to different thoughts. They were exposed to different views. And as a person of faith, I find that wonderful. Their God created them to think critically, and to just listen to what I happen to think doesn't strike me as fair. And so I send my kids to the public schools to learn from and teach to. And they can make up their own minds on these particular issues. I don't think the schools are indoctrinated. I think they're providing a viewpoint that my child should be exposed to, and that my child can make up his or her own mind on these issues. And so I think we're overly antagonistic about what the schools are trying to do. Most teachers are in it for good reason, and it doesn't have to be us versus them. We can learn from one another.
All right. Well, Aaron, of course what you're saying is important in that I'm not seeking to make a dichotomy between all public schools, all public school teachers, and people of faith. So if it seemed like that, I appreciate you raising your points, because that's not my intent.
Using language like indoctrination, there's really...
But that's what I am talking about. In other words, where they are indoctrinating, where I've read their material and watched their videos, and they said, we want to get our point of view across to the kids, even though it's contrary to what the parents hold to. And
but there's
that
a lot of things I don't like in the public schools, and there's a lot of things they don't perhaps like about me. It's not like they're in school, you know, from 9 to 2:55 when that bus comes earlier than I like to pick it up. But it's not like they're there for, you know, 7 hours only getting that exposure. They get a lot of other things. I think my kids bring something unique to the classroom.
Well, listen, your kids may be great in that setting, and they may have turned out great, but as far as I'm concerned, when you're telling a first grader that so-and-so, who was a famous American, is gay, and they don't even understand sex or sexual orientation.
But I think you're generalizing from the small cases,
Aaron, when that is the case, that's indoctrination. When you have a lesson exercise to help a kid find their hidden inner transgender identity, that's indoctrination.
With all due respect, do you really think that that is at all normative?
It's in enough places. I have the lesson. I have the lesson plan. I have the lesson plans. I've watched them from.
But as a Christian, I know that there are some lessons that that the smallest minority of our people teach that are incredibly hateful. And I do not generalize to all Christians from that small, small minority.
Well,
I think you're
Kevin,
talking about a small, small minority and doing the same thing that has been to us.
Actually, I'm hearing constantly from parents
from
students
from
all
sources?
Over America, city after city, and they come up to me and say, you have no idea what's happening in the schools. I've had teachers come up to me and tell me the pressure that they're under. Across, I'm just reporting, Aaron, and let's just remember Kevin Jennings from the Gay Lesbian.
Here,
go ahead. Go to the website here.
I appreciate the conversation. I truly do. All I'm saying is that we ask for sources. I think our God demands critical thought.
I'm all for it. I got all my degrees. Aaron, just hang on. Just hang on. Hang on, Aaron. Because I'm up against a time break here, too. I did all my studies at secular universities. Okay, Queens College and NYU is where I got my bachelor's, master's, and PhD. I never studied with a Christian professor ever in my life.
Sir, I'm a professor.
Right. So I am all for critical thought and exposing our kids. That's why, I said a few minutes before, it may be your by conviction that you keep kids in the public schools. But when you have an opportunity, go to truetolerance.org, okay? Truetolerance.org. And also remember that not every kid is like your kids and able to process things as critically.
I think most children are like my children. I think we feed our own insecurities into our kids. Our kids are tolerant. Our kids are great together. Only when we feed our politics into them.
But it's not politics. When we're talking about morality and, say, the redefinition of marriage and those kinds of fundamental things, we're not talking about just, being tolerant of the fact that somebody's different. We're talking about fundamental moral fruit. Hey, Aaron, I'm out of time, but thank you. I really appreciate the call. We'll have to talk again. Thanks.
Indeed.
All right. Yeah, I wish Aaron had called in earlier. So, Aaron, next time you have the opportunity, if you hear me and you're differing, call in earlier, because these are the conversations I love to have so that we can sharpen one another. Boy, I wanted to spend a few more minutes on this. But if your kids are in the public schools, which is what I was going to get to, really, you cannot just let them go to school without getting involved. You really need to sit and talk with them. You really need on a daily basis to interact with what they've learned. You need to look at their textbooks and look at their lessons. You need to meet with teachers. If teachers are teaching things that are morally reprehensible to you or wrong, clearly violate your beliefs, you need to politely explain to the teachers that you will be telling your kids at home that this is contrary to what you believe. Get involved in parent-teacher associations where you can get involved in school boards. If God's calling you to teach, maybe it's in the public school versus in a Christian school. So find out where he wants you and look for ways to make an impact. Also, go to my website, aqueerthing.com. It's the website for A Queer Thing Happened to America for my book. Go to aqueerthing.com and click on Get Involved. Aqueerthing.com, click on Get Involved, and you'll find many practical things that you can do in terms of your kids' education. All right? I'd love to get into your hands my two-hour debate with Rabbi Shmuley on homosexuality is in America's greatest moral crisis. It is an eye-opening, very intense debate. We've reduced the price. We'll pay the postage on it as well, so you can get this two-hour debate on DVD for just $10, postage paid. But give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. If you can be generous with a gift beyond that to help us with a radio broadcast, that's awesome. But by all means, get the debate. 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978, $10, postage paid. We'll send you my debate with Rabbi Shmuley. My bottom line, friends, children are a heritage from the Lord. Children have been entrusted to us, and we as parents are obligated to teach them and train them in the way they should go and to lay solid foundations in their lives from the moment they're born. That means if the school system is violating your convictions, either get involved or get your kids out. What do you do when the schools are indoctrinating your children contrary to your moral and religious beliefs and you have no control over it? What are your alternatives?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I went to the Fox News website last night just to check on some news, and lo and behold, the lead story with two or three or four sub-stories all had to do with, you got it, gay-related issues. Rudy Giuliani telling Republicans, get out of people's bedrooms. Seems to me that people are putting their bedrooms in the news, as opposed to what former Mayor Giuliani is saying, but let's get out of their bedrooms and forget this issue of same-sex marriage, and then, whoa, check this out. Well-known gay journalist, author, Andrew Sullivan. Newsweek, why gay marriage is good for straight America. As same-sex couples march down the aisle in New York, the author reflects on his own life, love, and pursuit of happiness. There's a picture of him with, quote, his husband. That's right. Newsweek, friends, once again, something that we cannot avoid, but something that is more and more in our children's schools. What do we do about it? What is the position that we should take when schools are teaching things to our kids? I use the word indoctrinating carefully and intentionally. Indoctrinating our kids contrary to our beliefs, contrary to our convictions, contrary to what we feel is right. And we are told you can't opt your kids out. And we are told that you cannot be notified when these things will happen because this is just the norm now, this is the law, this is what's in the textbooks. What do we do? Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. Yeah, I'm coming your way, probably sound exactly the same to you, but I'm coming your way from California, Glendale, California, the beautiful KKLA studios where I'm scheduled to broadcast today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And then after the shows each day, drive back to La Mirada. Boy, I'm kind of picky with foods. I eat a few foods. I'm real simple. I eat the same food every day. But I've never gotten into Mexican food. But some of the places in California, it's a shame I'm not into Mexican food because this would be like paradise. But drive back to La Mirada and then teach at Talbot Theological Seminary 3 days on Jewish apologetics before flying back to be with everyone back in the greater Charlotte area. So what do we do about this? I started to get a lot of emails late last week, people saying, have you seen the news? Did you see this? New York Times reporting this, and this news outlet reporting this. SB 48 has been signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown in California. So what's new about the news? We've been talking about this school bill for years. It's this Senate bill. It's, I think, the eighth bill that's been passed in California relative to homosexual material in children's schools, but each new bill keeps going further than the previous bill. And I've got some sound bites to play for you on the other side of the break that kind of amazing. I played them in the first hour. I'm going to play them again this hour in terms of what this would mean in the schools. But it would mandate the teaching of homosexual history, of Stonewall riots would now be celebrated in the schools, that Harvey Milk would be celebrating the schools. Harvey Milk Day already. He was openly gay, elected political official. He was killed. He wasn't killed because he was gay. He was killed along with someone else who was straight. But he's become kind of a gay martyr. California already has Harvey Milk Day. This would be going beyond that. It would say every year you have to teach about the Harvey Milks, and every year you have to teach about a famous American. If they were prominent and they hadn't, we believe they were gay privately, we're going to teach about that. We've been covering this for months, discussing it. It finally got signed into law by the governor, and people suddenly saying, do you know what's happening? Yeah, we know what's happening, which is why we've been talking about it. So here's the question. On a practical basis, what do we do? Do we pull all our kids out of the public schools, and that's it? What if you can't? What if there's no Christian school in your area? What if you can't afford it? What if you can't homeschool? What do? We're called to be salt and light. We're called to watch over our kids. What do we do?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So let's think about this for a minute. You're reading history textbook, you're a kid in school. Let's say you're old enough to understand sexual orientation and things like that. Let's say you're 14 years old and you know some of your friends now say that they're out and proud, gay or lesbian, or whatever, so you're around this stuff. When you're studying history, are you making an assumption that every person is heterosexual, that every person you're studying in history was heterosexual, or are you not thinking about it because that's not the issue? 866-34-TRUTH. Well, in schools across America, it is becoming the issue, an unavoidable issue. And as it's law now in California, to make it an issue, especially to point to those who were not heterosexual, which again begs the question, are you going to say about everybody else, by the way, they were straight, this one was straight? But textbooks made in California will go across the country. Oh, yeah. So this is something we have to think about. And of course, schools across America, these issues are coming up. And now Secretary of Education Arne Duncan has sent out a memo to educators all over America saying, do not try to shut down gay and lesbian clubs and gay and lesbian alliances in your schools. Don't try to shut them down. These are important to fight against bullying. And you've got them in middle schools now. It used to be just high schools, now in middle schools, so that a kid can come out to his or her peers and a faculty advisor and say they want to come out as gay and lesbian. The parents will not be allowed to know. This will be top secret. And the Secretary of Education of the United States of America has said, don't do anything to shut these down. And in fact, I ran into a colleague from Canada last week. I mentioned it last week, but perhaps you weren't listening to that moment. You missed that precise moment in the broadcast where he said that Catholic bishops have now been told that in the Catholic schools in Ontario, that they must have gay and straight alliances, gay lesbian clubs in the Catholic schools, and they do not have the power to say no. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Those who claim to be the most tolerant are often the least tolerant, to say the least. Okay, I'm going to give you just a hint of what some of this will look like in a moment. But first, I want to go to the phones. Julie in New York City, what's your take on all this?
Hi.
Hello, Julie. Go ahead. You're on the air, Julie. Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Loud and clear, please. Go ahead.
I just want to echo what the other lady mentioned before I switch to this one-hour program. Last lady in the last hour program, I think she was Eric. She mentioned her four children in public school. She thought that was great for the children to explore diversity, if I remember correctly. However, I have totally opposite experiences, and I just want to share that the public school teachers surely have a lot of influence over our children. Especially, I came to U.S. as a missionary family. We came from Asia world. In our world, we respect the parents so much. Of course, the parents told the children to respect the teachers. But the first day I took my son into public high school to register him, the nurse wanted to cast me out. She said I had to go out. She wanted to have conversation privately with my son. But my son insisted that his mother has to stay because his English is limited. And he also felt some kind of threatening forces. And when I stay, the nurse is asking if you are sexually active, if you are homosexual, or you're bisexual, or all the conversation that I heard. I felt the public school is trying to take influence of parents away, reduce parents' involvement,
Julie, let me just ask you a question here. Make sure I understand this. For everyone listening, the end of the last hour got a very interesting call from a woman named Erin, who's a professor, identified herself as a Christian, as a person of faith, with four kids who've been through public school and two are graduated, and felt I was being unfair towards public schools. And I certainly wasn't blasting all public schools. There are many fine public school teachers listening to us. My issue is when the schools are indoctrinating our kids, contrary to our wishes, which could be a hundred different areas. I'm highlighting the homosexual issue because of being in the news with the California school bill. But the point she made was our kids should learn to teach critically. They shouldn't just listen to their parents. They should think critically. They should go to school, hear the teachers, hear the parents, learn to think for themselves. And of course, we want our kids to be respectful of parents. But the school, the job of the public school is not to teach my kids morality or religious beliefs. The goal of the public school is to teach the kid to read and to write and to be able to think critically. But you're saying, Julie, that the first day that your son was brought into a public school here in the States, that the nurse had a discussion with your son about sexual issues and sexual activity? You're saying that this actually happened or happened in subsequent classes?
Oh, no, not even in the class, just the day we went to register him. And then, you know, there's a procedure, different offices we had to go through to register him. Then when we got to the nurse office, she asked them very general information, like name, address, and she wanted to make me leave the office. She didn't want me to be there. She wanted to talk to my son about sexuality, about
so this is the nurse. Amazing. The very first day. That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
And what kind of just parents need to realize the real role, the influencing role that teachers have on their kids, and they need to get involved. They need to know what's being taught. They need to interact with their kids about it. If they don't feel to call their kids out of public school, or if they don't have the capacity to, either the finances or the ability to pull them out, then they've really got to get heavily involved, because your kids are going to hear a lot of things, not just from the peers, but from the faculty, and it's not just going to be reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Also, I really agree with you. Also, I want to mention, I don't know what kind of walk the other mother who claimed to be a Christian had with her faith. However, if I am a Christian and I send my son into a school that teaches Quran and teaching Allah is the only God, I think it's not something called experiencing diversity. I think it's something that created tremendous conflict in his young mind, confused him with the authority from the country, which the public school of this nation represents, with the authority from education, highest humanity, intellectual power. They are trying to bombard, what's the English word, bombard my son and all of my children, their values, their morality of standards. And
right.
Especially, yes, the homosexual agenda from the beginning, the purpose was never to get recognition. That's why Dr. Brown mentioned so many times that again and again, there was no discrimination against them, but they are not satisfied because their purpose is to deteriorate, to ruin, to destroy the fundamental value, family structure, one daddy, one mommy, normal family, normal marriage. They want to destroy that. That's their purpose.
Yeah, and Julie, let me just, by the way, what country did you come from originally?
I'm Chinese.
Chinese. Okay, well, bless you for coming to America as a missionary. Think of that, friends. There are thousands of missionaries from around the world here in America, many reaching out to their own people, like Koreans here to reach Koreans and others to reach their own ethnic groups here, but others just missionaries to our nation because they see how lost we are. And this has been going on for years. I remember writing about it, researching it back in 1990 when I wrote How Saved Are We? Julie, certainly many gays and lesbians would say that they experience discrimination, they experience bullying, they experience bad treatment, and they simply want to reverse that, and that's why they teach what they do in the schools. And many would say, look, we just want the same rights to marry the one we love that you have, and that's why we're campaigning for it. But certainly it doesn't end there. Where it ends with is the complete normalizing of homosexual practice. What it ends with is the complete legitimization of homosexual practice. What it ends with is you have no right to have any moral or religious objection to this, otherwise you will be branded bigoted and hateful. And we will have that taught in the schools. Julie, thanks so much for calling. And when Julie mentioned the previous caller and what kind of walk she has with the Lord, obviously I'm not sitting here judging it. I ran out of time. It's the end of last hour. I ran out of time, but I really wanted to ask her that same question about her faith, about her own walk. Oh, by the way, have you heard this? Microsoft axes a store from Christian Values Network following gay rights petition. According to what I'm reading, the petition generated over 500 signatures in less than a day. 500 signatures, that's a lot? In less than a day? Microsoft already acted on it? Why? Supported an alleged hate group? You know who the group was? Stay tuned.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Tomorrow, I plan to interview my dear friend, Yesu Padam. We've worked together in India since 1993. He has an extraordinary story. We'll be talking about his life story, talk about persecution in India, talk about what God is doing in India. It's amazing to see what he's done educationally as an untouchable, a dropout from early on in school, a man mightily used in India and around the world. He'll be with me on Tuesday. Also Thursday, still working through some details for Wednesday's show, but Thursday I plan to finish my critique of the With God on Our Side video, but with some real eye-opening stuff about the attack or critique of Christian Zionism in that video. So some important shows coming your way this week. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. If you click on The Line of Fire, you'll find a bunch of relevant resources. Look, the issues that we're talking about are things that are simply not going away. I'm going to leave here, leave the studio here at KKLA in Glendale, California. Drive, I don't know, 45 minutes. Hopefully there's not going to be much traffic, hopefully, but I'm in California, I understand, L.A. area, and been around New York enough to know you never really know. But go over and teach at seminary for 4 hours each of the next 3 days, teach on Jewish apologetics. That's what we'll focus on. That's what we'll focus on. And when I'm talking to my friend from India, Yesu Padam, we'll focus on other issues. But the things we're talking about, especially as to what's happening in the schools, friends, we just cannot ignore this. So here's this story. Microsoft has triggered the removal only hours after a gay rights petition appeared online. The petition was created at change.org, a free social petition site, entitled Microsoft Stop Raising Money for Anti-Gay Hate Groups Like Who? Focus on the Family! Focus on the Family! The petition generated over 500 signatures in less than a day. Unless it's a typo for thousands, because change.org would get a lot more signatures than that. Dozens of major brands, including Apple, Netflix, and Dell, are supporting alleged hate groups through a link referral service known as the Christian Values Network, CVN. The service donates money to more than 170,000 charities thanks to referral links. Customers can choose to purchase Apple hardware and Netflix subscription through the service, and Apple and Netflix would make a donation to the charity of the customer's choice through CVN. This is 170,000 different groups, all right, through the Christian Values Network. 170,000. Microsoft has axed this. Yes, axed it. Cut it off. Why? Because these are hate groups. You want to hear some of the terrible, terrible groups? This is for allegedly blatant and repeated homophobic lies about lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender people. Therefore, hate groups. Focus on the Family. Family Research Council, Summit Ministries, Abiding Truth Ministries, Liberty Council. And Microsoft bowed down to this quickly. Friends, I've said it time and again. Those who came out of the closet fighting for what they felt were equal rights, fighting for what they said was tolerance, those who came out of the closet now want to put you and me in the closet. Related news, Liberty Council just came in an email during the break. Liberty Council has filed a brief requesting summary judgment in the lawsuit Taylor versus Roswell against the Roswell Independent School District for retaliating against a Christian group called Relentless in Roswell. The school punished and suspended members of the group for buying and giving fresh Krispy Kreme donuts with Bible verses to each of their teachers. The group, as a Christian group, gave Krispy Kreme donuts with Bible verses to the teachers. In the past, these students handed out chicken salads, hot chocolate, and candy canes to the student body and faculty. They helped staff with the trash and fellow students with their lunch trays and also distributed rocks with affirming words like, "You are wonderful," painted on one side and Psalm 139 on the other. However, the school has bullied and suspended students who were exercising their freedom of religion by distributing abstinence wristbands and plastic models of babies at 12 weeks gestation, bringing attention to the life of the unborn. That you can't have in the schools. By no means can you hand out wristbands for abstinence. By no means can you hand out a plastic model of a baby at 12 weeks. By no means can you do that. That does not belong in our schools. But celebration of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender individuals belongs in our schools and will be actively taught in our schools. And if you want to pull your kids out, you can't, because as the courts have ruled, it's more important to teach diversity than to honor the requests of the parents. This is why we bring attention to these things, friends. This is why we raise the issues. So the question again, we're parents. Nancy and I are grandparents. Many of you listening are parents. Some of you just graduated from school. Some of you are planning on having kids. There's all kinds of stuff being taught in public schools contrary to our beliefs and convictions. Do we just pull all kids out? That's what we do. Pull them out. Goodbye. Done with the public schools. It's Satan's system. It's the world system. Get out. Some of you are public school teachers, principals listening, say, "What in the world are you talking about, man? We're doing a great job in our schools. We got some problems, but we're doing a great job." I'm just raising issues, possibilities as to how people think. Do we have no business entrusting our kid to the world, assuming that the majority of the teachers in most districts in America will not be believers? Do we homeschool? You say, I'm really not. I barely got through school. I really can't homeschool. Or we're, husband and wife both working, can't homeschool. Send them to Christian school? We don't have a Christian school in our area. Well, the one we have, it costs like $12,000 a year, and we barely make ends meet as it is. So what do you do then? Do the churches need to rise up and do something cooperatively and collectively to say we need to make a difference here and offer alternatives for our kids? Or are there things that you can do as parents to get more involved? At the very least, moms and dads, I know many of you you're tired out, end of a long day, maybe you're just busy with kids at home and working jobs and other things, and it's rough to sit down every day and chat with your kids, what'd you learn in school and how'd your day go, and to say, "Hey, let's take a look at your books. What books are you reading, honey? Oh, okay, let's look at some of your lessons." I know for some of you, I'm worn out and tired, but your kids deserve it and your kids need it. They are under the influence of their peers and of teachers who may not hold to your values for 6, 7, 8 hours a day. They deserve your input. They deserve your involvement. They deserve your interaction, and so do the school systems. What's stopping us from getting involved in school boards? What's stopping us from getting involved in the educational system? What's stopping us from being involved from everything from superintendents to principals, to teachers, to teacher assistants, to whatever else is there? Why not? Why, if we can't call our kids out, or we're not supposed to call all of our kids out, how about calling more of us in? 866-34-TRUTH. When we come back, friends, I'm going to play some clips for you, very short, but just to give you a feel of what could be coming or what could already be in some of our kids' schools. If you don't think we need to get involved and take action, either getting our kids out or getting more involved within, when you hear these clips, you realize, okay, time to rethink my position. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Shake the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What do we do when the public schools increasingly have curriculum that differs with your convictions as a parent? When the public schools increasingly want to indoctrinate your kids into what they feel is right, and they'll be aggressive with it. You want your kids to respect their teachers. On the other hand, you want to make clear to them that some of the things the teachers are teaching you don't agree with, and some of the things they're teaching you don't want their kids to be exposed to at all. Is there a way for homeschool families to help families that can homeschool? Do churches through cities need to come up with Christian school planning and try to raise funding for those that can't afford? Do we need to infiltrate the schools as salt and light? 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, great to be with you. Coming away live this week from the KKLA studios in Glendale, California. I'm out in California for a few days teaching at Talbot Theological Seminary, part of an apologetics class there, doing a few days on Jewish apologetics. So finish up here on radio, putting a couple hours in the studio, and then drive back over to the seminary, teach for about 4 hours, and then get busy with some work. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org. What will this actually look like? What will this actually look like when gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender history is taught in a mandated way in the schools, as is now the law in California, signed into law by Governor Jerry Brown? Of course, we talked about that for weeks, months. Now it's officially law. It take a while for the curriculum to be developed for the books and all of that. But once textbooks are made for California, they could go across the nation, correct? I played some of these sound bites the first hour. I want to play them again for those just tuning in now. This is already material that's available, Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender History Month. You know, you've got Gay Pride Month, and you have History Month, and it keeps being added more and more things until pretty well you'll have every day of the year covered with something, certainly every month covered with something having to do with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender celebration or recognition or anti-discrimination. I don't doubt that that will happen. So these are just some little vignettes about people that your kids could learn about. So picture you've got a kid in elementary school. You've got a first grader, and they're going to learn about someone like this. Clip number 3.
Leslie Feinberg is a leading transgender activist and author. Her novel, Stone Butch Blues, received a Lambda Literary Award and an American Literary Association Award.
Hang on. Your little Jane is going to come home from school. She's 6 years old. Mommy, we learned about Leslie Feinberg. She's a transgender activist. They call her the transgender warrior. She wrote a great book called Stone Butch Blues. Well, I don't know if they'll teach all of that to the first grader, but certainly Leslie Feinberg could be one of the people celebrated. Leslie is a woman who dresses and identifies as a man, but not fully, prefers the pronoun Z as opposed to he or she. A committed relationship with another woman. To whatever extent Leslie Feinberg has made lifestyle choices like how she dresses and identifies, I differ with her choices. To whatever extent she's had some internal issues that need help, I wish she could get that help. Of course, she would mock me for even thinking that she would need help in any way. But the point is, your little kid would be taught about this transgender hero. Let's go to clip number 5.
Kevin Jennings founded GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. He oversees the Office of Safe and Drug-Free Schools at the U.S. Department of Education.
So Kevin Jennings, gay activist, would be celebrated. Yes, he would be celebrated in the schools. Your kid would learn about him. Aside from the fact you don't, what does a kid need to learn about gay, lesbian, when they don't even understand sexual orientation? They're little kids. It has no meaning to them. Well, no, this is helping them be more tolerant. No, this is an issue that belongs in the home, and celebrating gay activist Kevin Jennings. Oh, there's more. There's more. Hang on.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And my question again for you as parents, what do you do when the schools are teaching things that you find morally wrong, morally offensive, go against core beliefs, convictions you have? What do you do? A few years ago, a major Christian ministry encouraged all Christian parents in California to pull their kids out of the public schools because of what was being taught in the schools. I don't know how Christian teachers within the public schools or administrators or others felt about this. I never got that information. I'd be curious to know that. But my question was always, even if I agree with that, even if I agree with it, especially for younger kids, what if you don't have that alternative? Then what do you do? But just so you understand how far this will go in terms of the implications of Senate Bill 48, just signed into law at the end of last week by Governor Jerry Brown in California. Succinctly, the new California law requires public schools to teach about the contributions of homosexual, bisexual, and transgender Americans, which would presumably mean if someone that we admired historically in the past secretly was a cross-dresser, and we now have documentation to support that, that needs to be taught. So who are some of the people that are celebrated as gays and lesbians, bisexuals, among gay activists and gay educators, and that your kids might be learning history a little bit differently? How about this famous individual?
George Washington Carver was a groundbreaking agriculturalist, best known for discovering innovative uses for peanuts. Born during the Civil War, Carver overcame racism to establish himself as a preeminent scientist and academic.
All right, you say I don't get the connection there. I played all these audio clips first hour. I normally don't repeat them, but important enough to repeat here. You say, I don't get that. What was there about him being gay? Oh, that's why he'd be taught in Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, Transgender History Month. Because, according to gay activists, he was gay. You say, well, hang on. He overcame racism. We know that. He was known as a committed Christian. We know that. And, of course, the amazing discoveries with the use of the peanut and so on. What's that got to do with his sexuality? Zero. Nothing. Nada. Nothing at all. Some speculate, well, he never married, and he had these close friendships with other men or some revealing letters to others. And so there's speculation that he was gay. We don't know that. First, we do not know it. Second, it had nothing to do with what he contributed. Third, if it was something in his life that was secret or that he secretly dealt with or crucified the desires for or secretly fell into, God knows. But it's something that he certainly did not want known or celebrate. It's certainly nothing that was part of his identity, as opposed to a black man overcoming racism and a committed Christian man. And how about this famous public figure?
Eleanor Roosevelt transformed the role of First Lady. She served as a diplomat and was a tireless champion of international human rights.
Eleanor Roosevelt, one of the most prominent First Ladies in American history, FDR's wife, known for a very public friendship she had with a female co-worker, public friendly affection that was shown, didn't seem to scandalize people or didn't read more into it. Oh, no, read the letters, and a lot of them have been burned, and she was bisexual, she was lesbian, secretly. This is what could be taught to your kids in school. Look, I document this in A Queer Thing Happened to America, so get, if you have the book, search for it, and you'll find all the info. If you don't have the book, get A Queer Thing Happened to America. But one of the heroes of American history that gay activists claim was gay is none other than Abe Lincoln. That's right. And of course, it's that the ideas have been completely trounced by solid biographers. And the man that put forth the major biography arguing for this clearly had an agenda. And it's been debunked on every level that it needs to be debunked. But, when I think of the man, I don't think of his sexuality anyway. I think of this great American. You say, well, that's the whole point. We don't want him to think about sexuality. Well, then why teach about it? And just think, in California, it's still the law that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. But it's not the law in the schools, because they'll be taught other things. They could be taught to, think of it, they could be taught to celebrate the contribution of a gay activist who openly fought to oppose Prop 8 in California. openly fought to overthrow marriage as a union of a man and woman, he or she, whoever that person might be, could be hailed and celebrated in California while at the same time the law is against what they did. And yet the history book would mandate teaching that they are to be celebrated. 866-34-TRUTH. Andrea in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
I want to just offer a perspective that may be unique to many of your listeners, but we as a family chose the public school route not because of financially mandated or because I feel like I can't educate my children, because I have a JD, so does my husband. We're educated people. However, I believe that as Christians, we need to be engaged in our public schools. I really believe that we need to represent. And when we sort of retreat, we're surrendering ground. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're largely in the state of affairs that we're in today, and why our culture is just accepting things like this curriculum that's being put forth by the Proposition 38 in California. And I know in our family, we chose to start a Christian club at our local public school. We had to sue the school district to make it happen because we faced opposition. But we sued and we were successful. And we've got involved by bringing Young Life. And then we've got our church.
By the way, that's what happens when, as a parent, you're both lawyers.
It is very handy. But we didn't even represent ourselves. We got another organization to do it. And then we're engaging our church right now in our community school. By this Thursday, for example, our church is going to be feeding the football team and feeding the parents. And by doing so, we're engaging in our culture, in our schools, and we have the opportunity to win the right to be heard with these parents and with these children and with the administration and the teachers. And what I've found is when Christians become involved in the school, and that has really just been the case in our middle school over the past 3 years, Christian teachers now feel that they can come forward and profess that they are Christians. And we've had a Christian teacher, a science teacher, who came forward to help lead our club. And the first day he did, he stood up and he held a textbook and said, "You have permission to doubt this. You have permission to question this garbage that you will be taught." And that's such a powerful message to our children. So I encourage Christians to get involved. Of course, do what the Lord has called you to do. Maybe he's called you to go to private school. But I know what he called me to do, and he called me to represent. And I believe he's called plenty of Christians to do that and to engage in this cultural battle that we're called. I mean, this is spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And in my position, you don't retreat. You get engaged, and you fight the good fight. And that's
right,
what I encourage other Christians to do.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Andrea. Obviously, you speak my language in terms of not retreating. You know, retreat spells defeat.
Right.
And obviously, we have to take ground. We have to move forward with our convictions, with our beliefs, shining light into dark places. That being said, let me throw two questions out to you, because I'm sure you've had to think these through. Number one, isn't it one thing to send older kids into the public school, but younger kids who are so impressionable should be home with mom or mom and dad for a longer period of time? That's one line of argument. The other line of argument is, if I'm going to teach my kid to think critically, then how can I teach my kid to respect the teacher and listen to the teacher at the same time that the kid's thinking teacher could be wrong about a lot of things?
Number one, you should be the most influential person in your child's life. Now, that is even more so in the younger years than it will be when they get older, and their friends will become more influential. So my personal belief is, I don't think it's wrong or a misstep on the part of a Christian to send their younger child to a public school. A, I think you'll find there are teachers that are believers.
Right.
And B,
or just have good moral standards. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, and good moral standards. And B, you be the influence in your child's life. You give that child permission to question. You teach them truth. And you know what? start them at an early age to fight the good fight. I mean, this fight doesn't start in our teen years. It's too late at that point. We really need to teach our children from an early age. I mean, that's what Scripture tells us. We need to train them up in the way they should go. And I've been training my children for battle since kindergarten. And they, they're able to reason. They're able to stand up to their peers. They're able to stand up to their teachers and say, this is what I believe.
Hey, Andrea, you hear the music. We're out of time. But thank you for the awesome call and the things you've done in Atlanta. God bless you.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, if there's a clear message we need to hear as parents, it is get involved, get involved, get involved, get involved. Get involved as moms and dads with the most precious commodity God has entrusted to us, namely our kids. Get involved in their lives in a way that if they're struggling, you're the first ones they would come to. If they want affirmation and approval, you'd be the ones they would go to. If they've got a question about something in school or something going on with their friends, that you would be the figures that they admire and love and respect, which means we have to live out our faith consistently, and it means we have to be there for them. It means we have to be proactive as we're discussing our involvement with our kids, what to do when the schools teach things that are deeply contrary to our beliefs, which happens more and more in the schools. 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, in California, there is now a push to overturn the teaching of gay history in the public schools. This is a report of various places. Urban Christian News, a socially conservative organization based in Sacramento, filed documents Friday afternoon to start a voter referendum on a controversial law that adds the contributions of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Americans to school instruction. The proponent of the proposed referendum, Paolo Sibaya, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, filed a request for a title and summary with the the Attorney General's office. Sibaya said he acted on behalf of the Capital Resource Institute, which had officially opposed the bill throughout the legislative process before Governor Jerry Brown signed it Thursday. And of course, they're going to be called an extremist group. And all they're saying is, hey, let the people vote on this. And again, if you missed it, there is a major article in Newsweek, Why Gay Marriage is Good for Straight America, by journalist author Andrew Sullivan. And there's a picture of him and his, quote, husband. Lovely picture of the two of them, meant to touch your heart. What touches my heart is my love for these men, that they would really come to know God and his love. And then an article in New York Times, I completely missed this, from the opinion pages of New York Times from July 3rd, by Ralph Richard Banks, who's a professor, Jackson Eli Reynolds professor of law at Stanford Law School. He's written about how moral norms evolve. And he says this, that not long ago, the prohibition of same-sex marriage, like the prohibition of interracial marriage before it, was so deeply ingrained in our social fabric and legal understandings that the recent turnabout by the New York State legislature might have seemed unimaginable. As recently as 1986, the United States Supreme Court rejected a gay man's argument for constitutional protection of his sexual relationship, declaring the argument at best facetious. In 2001, the court overturned that ruling and accorded same-sex partners the same constitutional protection as heterosexuals. Same-sex marriage may soon become legal in even more states. So, Professor Banks asks, what now of the two remaining criminal prohibitions of intimate relationships, incest and polygamy? Even as same-sex and interracial relationships are accepted, Americans are now in prison for incest or polygamy. What does he say is going to happen? Over time, our moral assessments of these practices will shift, just as they have with interracial marriage and same-sex marriage. We will begin to take seriously questions that now seem beyond the pale. Should a state be permitted to imprison two cousins because they have sex or attempt to marry? Should a man and two wives, be permitted to live together as a family when they assert that their religious convictions lead them to do so? And it goes on and on. But of course it does. Obviously, this has to be the direction it goes. We are well down the slippery slope already. People can tell us it's not happening. Hey, they are sliding down the slope already with us. All right, real quick, Noel in Honolulu, we're a little short on time, but please dive right in.
Well, I actually heard the last caller, and I totally agree with her about being engaged. And I think you had mentioned you were kind of concerned whether being homeschooled or not being able to adapt with the public school setting. That was our case. We homeschooled or home educated from the get-go, and then the Lord called us in New Mission Field into the high school years of my daughters, and it was a very positive transition, but I do see that we will be challenged, and we are equipping our kids to stand up for the faith, because, oh, by the way, you will be persecuted for righteousness, and mm-hmm. when you get them, when they're younger, that is the time to nurture them and stand up for what is truth. My daughter, she, when she came back, you know, her first day of school, she was just shocked of the disrespect to the teachers, and not yeah. that our kids are virgins with their ears of cussing or anything, because, hey, we're all sinners in church. We've all got people that different walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw the difference, and I always tell her, I said, you know, honey, we are called as a family to be yeah. a light and represent him well to your teachers, to your fellow students. So I do engage myself with the faculty, and I don't want to say I'm a Christian because I can just show it with my actions, but they right. do see a difference.
All right, hey, just real quick, because I'm almost out of time.
Okay.
If you had to do it again, would you send your kids to public school from the very beginning, or would you start with homeschooling, laying the foundations there, and then sending them in an older age like you've done?
You know, Dr. Brown, I would still do what we did, but see, we pray.
No, hey, listen, in our church community, we've had up to 95% of the people homeschoolers, and we've strongly advocated it, so there's no opposition to that. But I've got to run, but thank you for your testimony. Thank you for making a difference. I appreciate it very much. But I've heard in this hour from folks that I didn't know that I'd hear from, but I'm so pleased they've called in. The big takeaway is we must get heavily involved with the nurturing and upbringing of our kids. And we must be the most influential people in their lives by our example, by our praying for them, by our interacting with them, by our pouring into them, knowing that there's a lot of opposition, tremendous pull. If we're going to leave it to the internet and the TV to educate our kids, we are in big trouble. And if we're just going to leave it to the public schools to educate our kids, unless we get heavily involved, meeting with teachers, getting involved, talking to our kids about what they're learning, helping them think critically through these things, even seeking ways to get involved in school boards and other things like that. If we just leave them to the schools in most systems in America, we are asking for trouble. Friends, we've got a really important resource that will stir you. I'm telling you, watching this thing will stir you and educate you. It's my two-hour debate with Orthodox Rabbi Shmuley Boteach about homosexuality. Is it America's greatest moral crisis? And, of course, we focus on the activist issue. It'll really stir you. It's an amazing debate. 2 hours on DVD. We've reduced the price and we'll pay the postage, so you can get it for just $10 today. So as many as possible get it. I encourage you to call now, 1-800-278-9978. Ask for the DVD, the homosexuality debate. It's 2 hours. It's passionate. It's eye-opening. $10 postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. If you can help with more, that's awesome. But everybody, take advantage of this. Get the debate. Show it to your friends. My bottom line, as parents, we are called by God to pour into our kids. It is the most important mission field we have. Let's not save the world and lose our family. Let's not do great exploits for God out there and forget where we live, those most intimately entrusted to us, our kids.